Amen. Thank you, choir, again for that. This morning, you see the title of the message is Breaking Through to the Blessed Life. And we're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 4 in just a few minutes. Were we able to get those photographs? I ask you kind of loud, just put a message.
No.
Okay, good. I want to thank everyone who attended the prayer services at the different schools and here Wednesday night. Johnny had sent me some pictures. I was in Alabama, and I just sent back and said if we can get them up. We didn't, but we'll get those to let you know. But I haven't heard the number of people we had praying, but thank you for everyone that went out to those schools or that came here to pray for our schools and for all the educators and the leaders and students this year. And I saw we even had some people from the schools. In fact, I saw some posts where people had put on the school that they were going to be at and inviting all the faculty and staff to come and join them, and had some actually join. So we appreciate that. I appreciate everyone that took part in that as well for last Wednesday night's prayer time for our schools in the school year. You do want to remember, and Johnny, I'm sure, will announce this later, but the Life House and the open house that's happening today from 2 to 4. And I know that Judy had also asked for, we're going to have a silent auction. I don't know how much she's got. She got some or not. I gave her two this morning, two small things that I had. I just had things laying around the house, not really, but I gave her two things to auction off. And you want to be here, if nothing else, you want to be here just to bid on those two items. I guarantee it. Okay, maybe not. But you want to come and be a part of that, and we also want to be praying for them. In fact, I'm going to ask Judy, you don't have to stand right now, but anyone else that's in here that's affiliated with that, going to be part of the open house or part of the pregnancy center ministry that we're going to have going on over there, would you stand right now? Because we are going to have a time of prayer for you. I know several are in other parts of the building, not able to be in here right now serving there, I'm going to pray for you right now. Okay, Father God, we thank you that you laid this on the heart of some of the ladies of our church, and I believe it began with Judy. And Lord, that they prayed through this diligently and waited on your timing. And though it's been 4 or 5 years, perhaps, even since you first laid that on their hearts, that they've waited for your timing. They've investigated, they've looked to see, and they followed you and followed your lead. And Father, I pray now as they have the open house today and then they begin it later this month by opening to the public, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, pour a blessing out on them. As we're going to see in a few minutes, that blessing, to ask for that blessing means to ask for something supernatural. And so we're praying that you would pour out supernaturally on these that will be involved over there as they touch the lives of women and children and perhaps men as well throughout this community and beyond. And Lord, just pray that you would give them confidence, that you will give them the right words to say in every situation at every moment. And Father, that you would bring the resources that are needed in through this, your family, your church here at Central. And Father, we pray that you would make this a ministry that is a sweet-smelling aroma to you as it's lifted up in your name and for your purpose and your purpose alone. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. Breaking through to the blessed life. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But at the end of life, when you stand before God to account for what you did in life and what you did not do in life, but when you stand before God, what will you be looking for? Jesus tells us in Scripture that we're likely to hear one of two responses from God. Well done, good and faithful servant. Or you will hear, depart from me, you wicked and lazy person. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to hear that first one. Well done. And that'll only be because of the grace of God even then. But is there a way to be certain of obtaining this response, this well done response? Well, the Bible says there is. It is to live the way the Bible says to live. It is to live the way that Jesus taught us. And even then, we need help. We can't do it on our own. On our own, left to our own devices, we cannot live up to the standards of God. However, there is hope. our hope is in Jesus Christ. There are many examples throughout history and in Scripture and throughout history that we could draw from and be encouraged by. And one such example is a man named Jabez. And that's who we're going to look at today. We do not know much about Jabez. In fact, there's only two verses. These two verses we're going to read, the only time that he's mentioned in the entire Bible. Nothing else can be found in Scripture or any other writings from that time about this man named Jabez. And yet these two verses, I believe, speak volumes to us. You see, the first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles is a genealogy. It's a genealogy from Adam all the way through the 6th century B.C., all the names of Israel, and all the men of Israel, and this person, these were his children, and then it goes from them to their children, and it just keeps naming, name after name after name, nine whole chapters in there. And right in the middle of it are these two verses that we're going to read. And they appear out of place with the surrounding chapters, since it's all about who begat who and who had who as a son and whose father was who and all this stuff. And God stops right in the middle of this roll call of the Hebrew nation to tell us of this man Jabez and his prayer. And so let's read it. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please stand with me as we read this. Haven't been doing this much lately because of the way I've been using Scripture throughout the message, but I'm going to do this as we're reading these two verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning with verse 9, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez and said, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez called out to the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. And God granted his request. Father God, as we look at this, your word today, and expound on it, we just pray that it's your Holy Spirit that gives us the words to say and the words to hear. We pray that it is your Holy Spirit that's leading us as we listen and listen deeply, intently to your Holy Spirit and what your Holy Spirit has to say to each one of us. And Father, I pray that as we listen to this, we hear the right way, not only the right words, but the right ways to pray a prayer like this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. The first line of these two verses says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, notice it does not say that his brothers were not honorable. It doesn't say that they were evil. It doesn't say that they were bad. It just says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And we're going to focus on the second verse, verse 10. That's his prayer. And apparently, in the eyes of God, this prayer is of grave importance. I mean, think on this. God's going, starting at Adam and goes all the way down through the whole genealogy of Israel up to this time. We've got Adam, we've got Noah, we've got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Samuel, and Solomon, and all these names we can say. And God doesn't mention any of them this way, but he stops the roll call for this man that otherwise unknown. Somebody named Jabez. Anybody ever met Jabez? Nobody at that time knew who Jabez was. But God stops the roll call. So this prayer must be important or must have power to make an impact on each one who prays this prayer the way that Jabez prayed it. I believe that there is a great impact to be had by anyone who prays this prayer, God-sized impact, when we pray it as Jabez did. Listen, folks, if anybody ever mentions this prayer or tries to teach this prayer and tells you that God wants to give you more money, God wants to give you more land, God wants that prosperity stuff, run away from them as fast as you can. This is not a prosperity prayer. It has nothing to do with prosperity, as the world would have you talk about it. And we're going to focus on this and see what God says in this way. But there, to me, there's no other explanation, no other way to explain this being in Scripture than God felt it was this important. Nothing else is ever said about Jabez. We never hear from him again. But his prayer was powerful enough to stop the roll call of the Hebrew nation. So let's break it down. And these are going to be our points. The lines in the prayer are going to be our points today. The first one is, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, to most of us, at first glance, this seems like a maybe even a selfish prayer. Oh, that you would, oh, God, just bless me. And it could be that way, but that's not the way Jabez prayed it. You'll see here as we go through here. Especially if we make this the first line of your prayer. But God thinks highly of this prayer. Otherwise, he would not have included in the Bible his holy word. And I hope that you see as you read this, that you see a sense of impression, of urgency in his prayer. Oh, Lord, that you would bless me indeed. It has been written that adding that last word that we translate indeed, and your version may not have that, but that's an error on my part. It should have indeed there. The reason is that it's been said that to add that last word, the word that we translate to indeed, was like putting 5 exclamation points at the end of a sentence. You ever do that? Remember as a child or as a teenager, you write something, maybe even as an adult, and you put 3 or 4 or 5 exclamation points behind it? That's what this would indeed mean. Oh, God, bless me indeed. Please, please. He's asking God. And there's a true sense of urgency here in this, even as it starts in this, and a great depth of desire on the part of Jabez. What is Jabez desiring? He wants to be blessed by God. But what does blessing really mean? You see, we've trivialized the word in today's church culture. We've trivialized the word blessed and blessed. And what's it mean? Blessing. In biblical terms, blessing had great implications. Because the word blessing is when you ask for a blessing from God, you're actually asking for something supernatural. You're asking God to give you supernatural favor whenever you say and ask for God's blessing. When we ask for God's blessing on someone or for ourselves, we're not asking for something that we can obtain on our own. We're not asking for something that we can gain, that we can do in the flesh. What we're asking for is something that only God can do, something supernatural. We're saying, God, give me something that I cannot get or do on my own. So this afternoon, when you sit down to eat, and every meal this week, and you say that word, bless this food, what are you asking God for? What are you asking God to do supernaturally with that food that you're about to eat? Because see, that's what you're asking. That's what you're saying when you say, bless this food. You're asking God to do something supernaturally with that food. To ask for God's blessing is to cry out for God's wonderful, unlimited power and his unlimited resources as only God can do, as only God can pour out. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 says this, says, the Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. All our works adds nothing to it. You see, folks, it's not about us. There's nothing we can do to add to God's blessing. Charles Spurgeon once said that, my God, bless thou me indeed. For what profit were it if my name were in 1,000 mouths, if thou shouldest spew me out of your mouth? If 1,000 people know me and know who I am, but God, if you spew me out, I am nothing, is what he's saying. One thing to note from Jabez's prayer and this part of the prayer is the amount and the type of blessing that he's asking for. It's not there, is it? Oh, Lord, that you would bless me indeed. You see, the amount and the type of blessing is entirely up to God. He's just saying, bless me, Lord. I'm just opening myself up. You bless me. He did not instruct God on how to bless him, on when to bless him, on how much to bless him, on where to bless him. He just says, God, here I am. I'm opening it up. Oh, Lord, bless me indeed. He did not ask for a particular type of blessing. He simply and pleadingly says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, apparently it is a difficult thing for us to trust God the way that Jabez did. I think is another reason why God put this prayer in there. The beginning line of his prayer focuses like a laser beam on wanting nothing more or nothing less than what God desires. Don't let me get in the way. Don't let me insert my ideas when you give me that thing to do. This is the lesson that we should take from Jabez in this first line of his prayer. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, here's what Bruce Wilkinson says, a study scholar here in his 80s now, I think. But he said, when we seek God's blessing as the ultimate value in life, we are throwing ourselves entirely into the river of His will and His power and His purposes. Now, picture this. You've seen pictures, you've seen movies. In fact, I was watching something last night of a fast-running water, a fast-running river. And you fall in or you jump in. You have no control over what that river does to you, right? That's what Bruce Wilkinson said. That's what this verse is asking for. He said, I'm throwing myself into the river. Your river, God. You take complete control. It's up to you what happens to me from this point forward. Use me. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. God has a plan, and His plan is to bless you. We've talked about that before. You've heard me talk about that. He wants to bless you. He desires for you to ask for His blessings. Folks, again, this is not about prosperity. It's not about asking God for more money or more land or anything like that. It's about asking God, just open yourself up. God, use me however you want to, and that's how I know I'm going to be blessed. When an individual truly begins seeking God's blessing, I can guarantee you one thing, always. I can guarantee one thing. I can guarantee it because I've read it, I've studied about it in God's Word, and I've experienced it in my own life. And the one thing that I can guarantee you, and it's really not my guarantee, it's God's guarantee. And that guarantee is you once, if you start this, not just this prayer, but you start living like this and asking God this way, the way that Jabez did, you will begin to see markers in your life. Spiritual markers, miracle markers, markers of God doing things that you couldn't claim credit for if you wanted to. God will begin to do things in and through you that will keep you so pumped up that you want more. And that's when this prayer really begins to take hold. Oh Lord, bless me indeed, is what he says. And then look at the second line in Jabez's prayer. As great as that line is, the second line says, and enlarge my territory. And this is possibly my favorite line of this prayer. I love both these first two lines, and I pray these first two lines especially often. I pray the whole prayer often. I will admit, thinking on the way over here, I haven't prayed it as much the last 5 or 6 months since I've been going through all the Bell's palsy stuff. But I pray these two lines throughout the day, different times of the day. And this one especially, why? Because when I pray for God to enlarge or to increase my territory, I'm not asking for more land. Now, some of you know, I would love to have more land. I'd love to have more land to hunt on, to fish on, and to just work that land. But I'm not praying for that. That's not what I'm asking for. What I'm praying for is I'm praying for God to enlarge the territory of my work for Him. Give me more. I want to do more so that God can make a greater impact. Not that I can, that God can make a greater impact through me. I want God to give me more churches to work with. I want God to give me more leaders to help and to work through and to work with. It's not for me. Folks, I walked away from a wonderful ministry, a great income, no guarantee to no guaranteed income at all. If you've read the book God Provides that we offered you, you saw that. But when I'm there, I'm always wanting to pray, God, enlarge my territory. What I'm saying is when I ask God that, when I pray that, when I ask God, and I believe Jabez did too, is I'm saying, God, I trust you. I trust you to take care of Pam and I trust you to take care of us, and I believe that I am following your will. You see, folks, I've experienced what God can do in and through me, and I realize it's much more than I could ever think of, dream of, or try to be a part of. It's not about me. I've experienced it. You've heard people say that they'd be talking about something, and somebody say, you know, I just stand in awe of that or of that person. I stand in awe. Folks, I live in awe and amazement at what God can do. And I look at those things that I walk through and as God leads me through, and I think, look back on them and I can say, wow, that was God, because George couldn't take claim to that, not even if I wanted to. Can't do that. But I know what it's like to live in awe and amazement. And I don't know what God has in store around the next corner for me or for any of us. But based on what He's done in the past, it's going to be good. It's going to be better than good. It's going to be great, perhaps greater than anything I've ever experienced. Whatever it is, even in death, it's going to be great. I do not know, but I know what is coming is great. And I want more. In fact, folks, I've got a confession to make to you today. Something that I've come to the realization as I've studied this and worked on this, I have an addiction that I'm going to confess to you today. I'm an addict. I'm addicted to God's blessings. I'm addicted to God's blessings and I want more. No matter how much He blesses me, I want more. No matter how many heals I get on top of, I want more. Oh God, enlarge my territory. Give me more. I guess I'm a blessing junkie. That may make me a God junkie, and if so, that's okay. Wouldn't want to be any other kind of junkie. Wouldn't want it any other way. You see, folks, asking God to enlarge your territory is asking Him to add to your life, to give you more, so that He can make a greater impact through your life to those that you come in contact with. Asking God to enlarge your territory is asking God for more. Some of you would say, well, I'm too busy. I don't need more. Let me tell you what God can do about that. Folks, it's not about asking for real estate or money or anything like that. Like I said, it's not about prosperity. It is about asking for more responsibility. It is about asking for more opportunities for God to make His mark through you, for you to be used by Him and for Him. Now, some of you, as I said, may your first thoughts may be to question this line of prayer. Man, I don't have time for anything else. I can't do more. I've got more than enough on my plate already. Folks, what I know, it doesn't matter how busy you sense you are. If you live like that, that I can't take on anything, I'm too busy to do anything else for God, that you're not living a godly life. What I know is that when you sincerely pray, such as this prayer, it doesn't have to be this prayer word for word, but something like this, that something begins to happen in your life. Things begin to change. As ministry opportunities begin to expand for you, so will your abilities and your resources to supernaturally expand as well. And you will be amazed at the transformation taking place in your life. I know in my life, I pray this prayer, like I said, on a regular basis. I have been for several years, and I'll be praying this prayer, even though my schedule is booked out for 2 to 6 months ahead of me. And I'll still pray that prayer. And I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that prayer. But by the time I said amen, one time in particular, as soon as I said amen, my phone started ringing. And it was somebody asking, can you come and work with our church? How many times I've done that, prayed that prayer, and within a half an hour, I've had an email from somebody asking. And it's not about money, folks, because as you've heard me say before, I don't charge to go and do what I do. I leave it up to them. If they want to give something, they give, but I don't charge. Now, when I do a contract, yes, I do, like I am with Alabama. But it's not about that. And so, if you will commit to do something like this, your abilities and resources supernaturally expand, and you have time to do more than what you thought you had, to accomplish what you're already doing, plus what God has asked you to do. And you'll be amazed at the transformation taking place in your life. But the truth is, most Christians shy away from this level of thinking. This level of living. Most Christians, most mature Christians, most churchgoers shy away from something like this because they're afraid they don't have enough talent, enough skill, enough time. I just don't have enough. But God says He has everything to take care of that for you. So He says, Jabez says, oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. And look at the third line, that your hand would be with me. It's important to realize that Jabez understands that what he is asking for is going to require more than he has to offer. Whether he knew it from the start or more likely as he started praying that prayer and he goes, uh-oh, boy, what did I just ask God for? But for whatever reason, he realizes that what he was requesting from God could turn out to be monumental and much more than Jabez was capable of. You know, it's kind of like You've seen, whether you've been in the gym or you've seen movies or TV shows about fighters or boxers or wrestlers or weightlifters, and they get in the gym and they're on that the weight bench, which is a bench they kind of lay down on and have a set of weights, and they push those weights up from the chest. It's called a bench press. And they're pressing it up, and they usually try to get as much as they can. Some guys do twice their own weight to lift that up. But they've usually, those guys, the professional guys, and guys that have been doing it for a while, they'll always have what's called a spotter. It's a guy that's standing behind their head, and he's got his hands open around the bar. He's not holding the bar, but he's there. So if anything happens, and that guy's pushing up like this, if that thing was to fall back, it could crush his chest or cut off his windpipe. And so that guy's there as a spotter to help hold it up. So what Jabez is saying here is that your hand would be with me, that you'd be my spotter. Don't send me out to do these without you. Don't let me go out on my own. Be my spotter. Help me as we go, as we do this. Keep your hand on me. And so this is it. His next line is that your hand would be with me. Jabez realizes that by asking God to do something supernatural in his life, it was going to require supernatural ability and resources, which is dependence on God. It's total dependence on God, and he realizes that. Too many times as Christians, we ignore our dependence. Even as good, faithful, God-honoring Christians, too many times as Christians, we ignore our dependence on him. We try to accomplish ministry in our own ways and in our own strength. We think, God would like this. This is something God would do. Or maybe God led me to be a part of this ministry. I'm going to go do this, and this is why we're going to do it. I'm so grateful to hear testimonies like the one Judy gives, that it was several years ago that she heard and thought of God gave her this the purpose for this ministry. And she, the part that I'm grateful for is she never says, and so I jumped to work right away, and we started it. Because you know what would have happened if she had? Probably wouldn't even be talking about it today. She said, we waited for God to bring the right people, for his timing, for it to happen. And I'm not saying that it was all Judy, and maybe others that have been in that prayer circle for the last few years trying to work that out. When is it God wants us to do it? But Jabez realizes this, that if we've got to do it in his timing, and the world we live in would lead us to believe that heroes are independent and with super ability, right? Okay, this is a good thing. We can do this for God. Let's just go at it. Let's charge at it. This is what we need to do to honor God. Let's just go at it. When God says, listen and wait on me. Jabez knew that he must become totally dependent on God and not try to accomplish what was to come on his own. We too need the thought processes of Jabez. We must realize our total dependence on God. He created us that way. He wants us to provide, or he wants to provide for us supernaturally if we will only put our fears aside and allow him to work in and through us. You see, when we ask for God to indeed bless us and to enlarge our territory, and he does that, it is not you and I who become great. It is God's greatness being displayed through how he uses us. We are totally dependent on God. To think otherwise is to live an ungodly life. Without him, you and I can do nothing good. We cannot accomplish these things. In 1993, I had a successful career in retail management, and with the company that I was working with, started downsizing, and I lost my job. While praying about what God would have me do next and where I was to go, what I was to do, I had two very good job offers, both in retail management or with retail companies. One was a guaranteed six-figure income in a corner office in their national headquarters down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It was a nice offer. Six-figure incomes weren't that frequent back then. And then I had another company come to me and say, hey, we know who you are. We know what you've done, meaning in retail management. We know your history, and we want you to come to work for us, and you get to tell us, you tell us what it's going to take to get you. They were talking about another six-figure income. Two, both within about 6 weeks, maybe less time, I don't remember, it's been so long ago. But I immediately thanked them and said, no thanks. And I remember specifically telling one of them, I'm already talking with someone. It was God. I knew God had something. I knew what was God. I didn't know what it was, didn't know where it was going, but I knew God had something for me. So no, I'm sorry, I can't take that. I'm talking with somebody else. So we lived for about a year and a half with me making about $13,000. Not a year, $13,000 in that year and a half. A far cry from six figures. And then came my first full-time ministry position. We all know what that, well, no, you don't know what that's like. Yeah. Mickey knows what that's like. It's a far cry from six figures too. It was a far, far cry. It was a lot less than what I was making in my retail management position before I got to let go for downsizing. But God began to bless in other ways. And I left that church, that full-time ministry, went in the full-time church. You know, they couldn't afford much. I just, you know, that I didn't ask them how much it was. I just said, oh, you know, if that's what God's leading me, we're going to do that. You read a little bit about that story. We left that church almost 5 years later. We never missed a meal. You can tell I still never missed a meal. We never were late on in payments. And we had more money in the bank than we'd ever done before. We'd remodeled our house. We'd done so much. God had done so much. God had led us to do so much more. And it wasn't just that. God also had led more than 100 people. I don't know how many it was, but I know it was more than 100 because I know it was over 20-something a year to Christ through my witness and through my working where he had me working and through the church, the ministry there at the church I was at. But how is all that possible when you're making that much less when you could have made? Only through dependence on God. Only through dependence on the hand of God. Again, folks, I'm not bragging on me, not bragging on, I'm just saying this is my experience. I can tell you that God can do it and he will do it because he did it in my life and I've seen him do it in other people's lives. Here's another quote from Bruce Wilkinson. Listen to this one. The hand of God is so seldom experienced by even mature Christians that they don't miss it and they don't ask for it. Did you hear that? The hand of God is so seldom experienced by even mature Christians. Most Christians don't miss it because they've never experienced it. And therefore, they never ask for it. That's why I talk about those kinds of things so much. Because I've experienced, I've seen it. And I know that God can do even greater things in your life. God's blessings, his power, his hand of greatness is not reserved for pastors and preachers and teachers or prophets or missionaries. It's for anyone who will call out and open themselves up as Jabez did. Plain, ordinary, otherwise unknown Jabez. Folks, don't rely on what you know you can safely do. Because that's not God. That's not the life God intends for you. Reach for the hand of his greatness. Place your full dependence on God and see what great things will come your way from God. I'm not, again, not talking about just money. What great things God will do, how you will grow. None of the things that I tell you to happen to me or me and Pam or because of me is only due to the greatness of the hand of God. And why on me, I don't know. But I'm grateful and I'll keep serving him and asking for more. Bless me indeed. Pam and I have just learned to place our hand, our trust in him. Turning everything over to him. And if you read God Provide, you saw a couple of those things. But the folks, the world would call us crazy. In fact, the world has called me crazy. I've had people tell me that. You've got to be crazy. There's absolutely no way. But it's not me. It's about saying, God, I don't understand it, and it's not what I want. But if it's what God wants, I want to do it. Oh, people, if you could only get a grasp of just a touch of what I'm talking about today, you would never want to go back to living a mediocre life. You may not think your life is mediocre, but I'm guaranteeing you, if God ever got a hold of you like this, you'd look back and say, man, what a dull, mediocre life I live. A life of caution that we now lead. God, please that your hand would be with me, would be on me in everything. And look at the next line. It's really two lines. I'm going to put them together here. And that you would keep me from evil that I might not cause pain or that I might not bring shame. Folks, when we ask for these things from God, as in the first part of Jabez's prayer, it does displease one, our adversary, Satan. He does not want you to experience what I've been talking about today, what God's speaking of in these verses. But Jabez shows wisdom with this line. He realizes how easy it would be to get comfortable in thinking that God is with me. It's okay now. God is with me. I can do anything. Just have to do what I think is right. And that's all that matters. Folks, it's easy to fall into that trap. You and I can fall into that trap anytime. Many a good Christian man, many a good Christian woman have taken that fall. But Jabez does not want to even enter the arena where a fall might happen. So his final request is, keep me from evil. If you want a sustained, blessed life, this should not only be your daily request of God, this should be your quest every day. Your quest, what you strive for to be there. It should be your quest, staying away from where evil lurks. With each blessing, with each spiritual victory that comes your way, comes a greater opportunity for falling and for failure. And we must stay on our guard. Don't talk about others who have fallen. Instead, pray as Jabez did, keep me from evil. And a lot of times when I pray that prayer, I say, keep me from evil and keep evil from me. Before the greater blessings of God begin to pour out on you, pray and ask God to keep you from evil. With each spiritual victory, it becomes easier to have your senses dulled to your dependence on God. Satan knows your weaknesses. That's why it's important to stand up and ask for God's help. Put your dependence in Him every day. It's far better to stay out of the arena than to go in knowing the pitfalls of temptation that are inside. You know the temptations for which you are prone to face and those which you might succumb to. Why would you submit to going to those places? Why not pray and ask God to keep you away from that area of temptation? Jabez knew that each time he fell in sin, it caused pain. It brought shame to God and to Jabez and to Jabez's family. And sometimes when I pray this prayer, a lot of times what I'll pray is, God, please keep evil. Keep me away from evil so that I don't bring shame on you, on your church, on my family, or your family. When we sin, we end up with scars that never go away. We also scar those we love. And we do more than scar our Savior. We drive the nails into His hands and His feet. God created you and me to live in community with Him, to have a close personal relationship with Him. And He wants to bless you indeed. He longs to increase your territory, to expand your territory. You see, the more that He can increase your territory, the more He can bless you. And oh, I believe He longs day and night to bless you and me. Indeed. Look at the last line that's ever written about Jabez in Scripture. The last line of verse 10 says, "And God granted his request. Oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed." And God granted his request. "And enlarge my territory." And God granted his request. "That your hand would be on me." And God granted his request. "And keep me from evil, that I would not bring shame." And God granted his request. Folks, God's not playing around. He's serious about this. He wants to bless you. He placed this prayer in this place of Scripture that's out of the way so that it would jump out at us from more than 500 names, just listed name after name after name, right in the middle of it all. This one man, this otherwise obscure man, never heard from again, he stands alone. It wasn't one of Abraham's prayers. Wasn't one of Isaac's prayers, or Jacob's prayers, or David's prayers, or Solomon's prayers, or not even Samuel's prayers. It wasn't none of their prayers, but here's this one obscure man. It's plain as the nose on our face. And for some of us, that's a pretty good, plain, big plain thing there. But it's plain as the nose on our face. God wants us to live the blessed life. It's just that you and I may need to change our way of thinking. Do you want to live the blessed life? Why not begin today asking for it? I always have a challenge, whether it's direct to you or indirect, there's always a challenge in one of my messages. And my challenge today is for you this week to begin praying the prayer of Jabez every day. The way that we've talked about praying, don't pray it for something for yourself. Give me this and give me that. God bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. And so I'm going to challenge you to pray that this week. In fact, I can say, you know, how many of you would commit to pray with me for the next week to pray this prayer as a church, each one of us? Amen. Two people raise their hand. Okay, three people raise their hand. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to challenge you as a church that we pray this prayer together for the next 30 days, for the rest of the month of August at least, that we're going to pray this prayer, the prayer of Jabez. Go home, write it on a piece of paper or a card, tape it on your bathroom mirror, tape it on the door as you walk out the door, put it on your steering wheel or your dashboard, put it somewhere where you're going to see it every day, put it with your Bible if you do a daily Bible reading so that you include this four sentences, this four lines in your daily walk somewhere. Pray it more than once if you want, that's fine. But pray it the way we've talked about today. Pray asking for God to do things. Because I want to see what God would do if enough of us commit to pray this prayer for 30. Now, there's nothing magical about the prayer, but if we commit to do a prayer like this, pray like Jabez prayed, I want to see what God will do if enough of us will commit to pray for 30 days the Jabez prayer. It's even on the front of your bulletin. You can just cut that out and put it somewhere. Stick it in your wallet. Every time you pull the wallet out, see it and start praying about it. Whatever, wherever, find some place to put it where you will pray it every day for the next month and watch to see. Be watching what God is doing in your life as you pray this prayer. You'll see if you pray it earnestly, God will work wonders and you get to be a part of it. That's His blessing. That's how God blesses us. And this is breaking through to the blessed life. Let's stand. Father God, we come to you at this time thanking you for your word, thanking you for your Holy Spirit teaching us today, and thanking you for what you've laid on my heart this week to be able to present this. Father, I pray that you would now, as we enter this time of response, that it would truly be that for us. That we would respond to you, that we would make that commitment, if we're serious, to make that commitment to pray the prayer of Jabez daily. To make it, write it out, and to make an extra effort this month for the next 30 days to do this. Father, I pray that as we do this, that at this time of response, that whatever else it is that you've been speaking to us, that we've realized it. And I know, Father, I know how your Holy Spirit works, that you've pinpointed things in people's hearts today that they need to do. They need to take care of. They need to advance in their walk with you. Whatever that is, Lord, I pray that not one of us would leave here without responding to you the way you've asked us to. And the desired way that you want us to. And Father, it's very possible there's someone here that's never truly accepted Christ as personal Savior, where they've never done that before, they've never prayed a prayer, they've never said, you know, I need Jesus in my heart, God, how do I do that? They would come forward, we'll do that. There's been others that have walked the aisle in a church much like this one. Maybe last week, last year, 10 years ago, 70 years ago. But they realize that what an obscure man like Jabez did, I've not even lived that kind of life. Father, whatever it is in my heart and in our hearts, every heart here, may your Holy Spirit continue to have freedom to touch us right now and tell us how you want us to respond. The altar's open. People can come and pray. Whatever it is that you call him to do, Lord, let us be obedient in your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond as God leads you.